It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
You know, I was ranting and raving about our great contributors here, and I started off the show this afternoon, unfortunately, with some sad news. We lost one of them today. My friend Jazz Shaw, who was a contributor at hotair.com, passed away. And I guess I wasn't completely surprised in a strange way, because the last time Jazz was on, it goes back maybe about six weeks. He was always, he was great on politics, but we had him on when the, you know, the weird UFO stuff was in the news, because he was kind of into that. But Jazz did not sound very good, and he had come down with some sort of illness that unfortunately took his life today at the age of 65. I know Ed Morrissey, who runs hotair.com, is very affected by this, because he was friends with Jazz for 20 years. I probably knew him for the past, you know, 6 or 7 years he's been on the show, but man, that one kind of hits you hard. Another great contributor with us this afternoon, Peter Zane from Real Clear Politics. How are you, Peter?
I'm doing very well, and I'm sorry for your loss.
That's, yeah. We've lost a couple. There was a guy by the name of Dr. Buzz Hollander, who was a contributor. He passed away suddenly. Karen Townsend, who was also a contributor at Hot Air. It's just too much death out there, Peter, unfortunately. Now, you started your column, Quiet Before the Storm, with a quote. This quote is from the American people, and it reads this way. Quote, I just can't wait for this campaign to be over, the American people. And I think we all say that, right? But here we are in these final days. And one thing that I think you're expressing concern about, and I've done the same thing, is once a winner is declared, whenever that happens, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be disappointed and probably very angry on the other side. I'm worried about my friends on the left, Peter Zane. I really am.
You know, I completely agree with you, which is the point of my column. I was trying to talk about that. And it's sort of a perfect storm of disappointment. You think from the Trump side, he was predicted to lose in 2020. He did lose, and he went bananas. So this year, it sure seems like he's going to win. He may not. You don't know, but the polls. So I can't imagine how angry he is going to be if he loses.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the one scenario. And then, you know, because you're right, people are not going to believe. I'm not a stolen election guy. I know that there's, you know, fraud that occurs out there. I've never denied that. I never saw enough proof in 2020 to say this is going to swing the election. Obviously, Donald Trump and I disagree on that. So, yeah, right. If it happens this time when it looks like all the momentum and support is going his way, you're going to have a very interesting reaction on the right. And I hope it doesn't get violent or any nonsense like that. But on the left, I'm not so convinced that it won't get violent, because I'm seeing people out there. Some of these people are friends of mine that every day are posting things so full of Trump derangement syndrome rage. I don't know how mentally they're going to be able to handle it. Mark Halperin went on this podcast a couple of weeks ago talking about how this might be the biggest mental health crisis in America. Seemed like hyperbole, Peter, but maybe not.
No, it's not. And I think that, to take one of the favorite phrases of the left, there's not a moral equivalency. There is a similarity. I was trying to say Trump is going to be upset. But if he loses, I don't think there will be violence. He's not the president, so he's going to be limited in what he can do. Republican leaders who have not wanted him to run their party are probably, many of them will be relieved. I think most Trump voters will say, we lost. They'll accept the defeat. The Democrats, if they lose, will never accept him as president. And, you know, this point keeps getting made, but it's just because it's true. They are deranged, and they truly believe he is Hitler, and they think that they are completely justified in responding to him as if he is Hitler. And think about, if you're in the audience, what would you do if you loved your country and it was being taken over by a fascist dictator? You would resist in every way possible. The problem is, of course, that he isn't Hitler. And in fact, I have a column coming out tomorrow. And, you know, one of the points that I make is, you know, I think one reason that anti-Semitism is on the rise, it's a small reason, but one of the reasons is, if you keep saying Trump is Hitler, then you're also saying Hitler was Trump. And how bad is that? You know what I mean? It kind of minimizes what Hitler did.
Yeah, in a weird way it does. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Look, I even heard Trump say this on the stump. His dad told him, I kind of follow this rule. Whenever either side starts getting into the Nazi fascist, even Eric Adams said that he was resisting that. Now, he may have been doing that because he wants to curry favor with Trump if he's president and get a pardon.
Right.
But it just is beyond the pale. Now, there are people on the left that are quite comfortable with this. I've made the case that if Anderson Cooper would have followed up a week ago with the question, you know, do you think Trump is a fascist? Kamala says yes. Could you define a fascist? I don't think she could have, quite honestly. So these words get tossed out there. Yeah.
They're actually much closer to being fascist, because what a fascist really was is someone who says, we're going to have private ownership of property, but we're going to tell them what to do. They're going to serve the state. And that is what the left has done in a thousand different ways. But I do think, to the point about violence, you know, they were violent at Trump's inauguration, but it's also not just violence. It's the slow motion coup. His first term was a slow motion coup. It was the Russiagate. It was the first impeachment that was beyond bogus. And I mean, I don't know how people really understand how destabilizing it is to basically do an impeachment, which is a nuclear bomb, on a phone call that, by the way, turned out to be correct, because Joe Biden, in fact, is crooked and his son was dealing, making money off his name in Ukraine. And then their assault on the Supreme Court, the whirlwind that Chuck Schumer promised. I mean, they are completely incapable of accepting defeat or setbacks in a democratic system. And that's why they not only oppose Trump, that's why they attack the Supreme Court, that's why they are the sponsors of censorship on social media and in other places. I mean, it is scary, and these are people who are deranged, and they're deranged in a way that we have not seen, so that they believe something that is false, and it drives their action because they think they're righteous.
And the media complicity, and when we're talking about they, I mean, they're included, but the media complicity, I don't think will ever get the proper attention that it deserves. From the cover-up of Joe Biden's cognitive decline, I mean, come on, right? That in any fair world of journalism, we would have had some thorough investigations about that, certainly before that disastrous debate. But on everything, I can't tell you how many times I've looked at stories on Twitter and I've seen the bias that's out there, either by the LA Times, the Washington Post, Mediaite, you name it. And then I've actually taken the time to watch what happened at the rally, or watch what Trump actually said, or watch the comedian at MSG. You know, all these things, because they didn't identify him as the comedian at first, of course. You thought Trump said all these things. The complicity on the mainstream media is in Hall of Fame level disgusting right now, Peter Zane.
I totally agree with you. I think, though, again, they believe it. So their journalism has changed from trying to present information to trying to achieve a result. And so the result that they're trying to achieve is to defeat Trump and the Republicans. If there's a silver lining in all of this, is he might win. And so just imagine if you are the New York Times, the Washington Post, the LA Times, CNN, blah, 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 NPR, and you have told people, I am the expert, I am informed, and this person is evil, he is Satan, and he wins. You know, so the silver lining is people are getting their news in other places, and they're able to make decisions on their own about what reality is. And I think that in some ways, never count them out, but this election has been a sort of last hurrah for the mainstream media. And you just think about how many people heard Trump on Joe Rogan 33 million people.
That's
incredible.
And then
take a look at how many people watch CNN, or how many people even read the New York Times. I mean, or that Call Your Mom, or whatever that thing was, that podcast that Harris went on. It's 3 or 4 million people listen to that.
It's significant. Look, I'm an old media guy, and I'm being overtaken by new media. So this is something that makes a significant impression on me, and I have to accept the fact that younger people, I was just hanging out with my son in Houston and his girlfriend, they don't get news anywhere like we used to. And there is some concern that they don't really access news because a lot of this is on TikTok, and you believe what you see on TikTok. So I don't know how we come back from this when it comes to journalism and good reporting. I thought the New York Times, Peter, did you read the DEI story that they did a couple weeks ago?
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Incredible reporting.
At the University of Michigan?
Yes. Great reporting. I mean, if you would give that to most people and say, you read this and tell me what publication it was in, the last place they'd think it was in would be the New York Times or the Washington Post. But that reporter took about a year to do really in-depth reporting. And it didn't seem to be agenda-based because it seemed relatively fair. That does not occur in most situations. Now, I understand, and Jeff Bezos put the exclamation point on this. Look, as you just indicated, they don't have the money. They don't have the resources like they used to. So that becomes problematic, and that's how bloggers and everyone else kind of take over.
Exactly. And I think that what they have done is a story like the DEI one really underscores their failure because they are capable of creating great journalism and they refuse to do it. It's a decision that they make.
It is
Sorry,
a decision.
We have some trick-or-treaters here.
No, that's okay. Hey, look, it's time for me to let you go anyway. It's Halloween, but you are one of my favorite thinking pundits out there. I always appreciate your work, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Well, happy Halloween to you.
You too, Peter
Zane. Not too many Snickers bars.
No, I can't promise that, but enjoy the election. We'll have you back soon. That's Jay Peter Zane, who writes for Real Clear and does a great job. We'll come back. We have audio cut of the day for this Halloween evening. Coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com. It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.